Thank you, worship team. Wonderful start to today's service. A beautiful morning to gather together and to be in church and to praise His name. He is all to us. My name is Jude St. John. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the apprentice pastor here at Westland Alliance. And it's my privilege and joy this Sunday to start a new sermon series. I met a lovely couple in the foyer before church, who this is their first Sunday, and if this is your first Sunday here, this is a great Sunday to be here. We're starting out a sermon series. It's going to lead into the summer, so you can start today and stay with us for week on week until we're finished. We would be really happy with that if you found that in your heart to do that with us. The sermon series we're going to start today, that I am going to start today, is entitled Endurance. And staying in the book of Hebrews, as we have the past 6 weeks, we are primarily preaching from the 12th chapter of Hebrews, a sermon series called Endurance. And I love this slide that Mario came up with. I think Mario and Pastor Mike talked about this. Endurance has many different forms. Sometimes endurance is holding on for dear life. I always get a kick out of mountain climbing. This is not something that people who are 300 pounds should do. Not even with ropes. But endurance has many facets, many faces. There's many ways endurance can play out in our lives. And I want to talk to you about one of those ideas of endurance, particularly long distance running. Really long distance running. Now, we have some people in the church who are into long distance running. Pastor Mike is a long distance runner. We also have a couple who I'm not going to name, but a couple who this past year did a 50 kilometer race called the Squamish 50. It's not just a race, it's a race up and down mountains. And if you want to ask me about it afterwards, I'll tell you who they are, but pretty impressive. But I want to talk about a man quickly to introduce this idea of endurance called Dean Karnazes. Dean Karnazes, and you see a picture of him there. He is an ultra long-distance runner. And in talking about endurance, he said, if you can't run, then walk. And if you can't walk, then crawl. Do what you have to do. Just keep moving forward and never, ever give up. Now, this is a man who can speak to endurance. Listen to some of the things that this man has done. He ran 350 miles in 80 hours and 44 minutes without sleeping. So over 4 days. He completed a race called the Relay by himself, which was a 199-mile or 320-kilometer run. 320 kilometers. He ran, this baffles me, he ran a marathon in each of the 50 states in 50 consecutive days. That was in 2006. 50 days in a row, he ran a marathon in each of the 50 states. He has run a 217-kilometer run across Death Valley when temperatures went over 120 degrees. He ran, talk about boring. Not that one. He ran 148 miles continuously on a treadmill. I mean, this. Anyways, he also did a 3,000-mile run from Disneyland to New York City, running 40 to 50 miles a day. He did it in 75 days. This guy knows about endurance running, and this is one of the pictures of endurance. He also said, as you can see up there, how to run an ultra marathon. Puff out your chest, put one foot in front of the other, and don't stop till you cross the finish line. And as we begin this sermon series on endurance, I like the idea behind that. I like that idea of simplifying it. You want to endure? Well, put one foot in front of the other and don't stop, whatever that takes. And so we are going to look at endurance over the next actual couple months, taking us into the summer. And so we want to have that on our minds. Now, we are preaching from Hebrews 12, but I want to start this morning in Hebrews 10, verse 36 to 39. This is the last three verses before Hebrews 11, which obviously is before Hebrews 12. And it'll become clear why I'm starting here when we get to the couple verses in Hebrews 12. But Hebrews 10, verse 36 to 39 says this, "For you have need of endurance." And I want you to personalize that this morning, that that's written to you. You have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For, quoting, "Yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but are those who have faith and preserve their souls." I want you to personalize that as well. We are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. So that's right before chapter 11 in Hebrews. And then chapter 11 goes on to speak about some people who did not shrink back and were, you know, destroyed temporarily, but not forever, but people who had faith and preserved their soul. That's the meaning of being not destroyed, is preserving your soul. And so the writer of the book of Hebrews goes on in chapter 11 to talk about people who endured, people who had faith and persevered. He talks about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel. If you look on the back of your insert for taking notes, you'll see that you can read about some of those people who endured. But the writer to the Hebrews brings and parades these people, as it were, in his letter in front of the eyes of those people he was writing to. So he says, "You have need of endurance." And then he parades these people who endured in front of the readers. And then after chapter 11, we get to chapter 12, which is really my verse here this morning. And it begins with that word, therefore. And if you remember, when we see the word therefore, we ask, what is the therefore there for? Right? And it's an indication that what he's just spoken about now comes into play. And so that's why it was necessary to talk quickly about chapter 11. After parading all of these saints who endure, the writer to Hebrews says, therefore, since we have looked at these saints who had faith and it preserved them, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me this morning? Lord, we thank you for this glorious morning where we can, even as you commanded us to do, gather together for the purpose of praising and worshiping you and glorifying your name. And we thank you for that opportunity to do that in song and in fellowship already. And we pray that you would help us this morning in the preaching and teaching of your word to do that as worship also, to be worshipers as we hear, and to help me to be a worshiper as I teach and explain and preach your word. We need your help in that. And I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would make clear that at the center of all of this, at the center even of our own endurance, is your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died for us. Help us to make that connection this morning. Help me to make that connection clear this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews, there is a call to endurance. Whoever those people were that whoever that author was writing to, had great need of endurance. And they had need of endurance because they were in a certain situation. And so beginning this sermon series and beginning this sermon, I want to talk about the context of the people who received that letter so that we have an understanding of why the writer called them to endurance. And we're going to see that they had many dangers they were facing. They had passive dangers, they had active dangers, and they had external dangers. And this was the context that they lived in. And so the writer, who is concerned for them, makes a call, makes a plea for them to endure. Now, these passive dangers had to do with weariness on the road of Christian discipleship. These people who received, this church who received this letter, were urged not to drift away and not to neglect the message that they'd receive and not to fall short and not to lose hold. They were urged not to lose confidence and not to lose boldness. They were urged not to become dull and not to become sluggish, not to grow weary or lose heart, and not to be carried away by strange teaching. These are passive dangers. And as I prepared this sermon, I thought I would just go over them quickly so that we could have a sense of the context of what the recipients of this letter were going through. And yet, as I did it, and as I wrote those down and as I thought about it, it became very clear to me, this is my life. These are the battles that I face. These are the battles that you face on a daily basis. These passive, as it were, dangers. Is this not something that you struggle daily with? These seemingly small dangers that would cause you to drift away or to neglect something or to lose hold of something that you've held tight to become dull or sluggish? This is a battle I face daily, that I fight daily, and it became real to me as this writer wrote to the Hebrews that this is for us. These dangers that they face are dangers that we face on a daily basis, these passive dangers. And I think these passive dangers lead to more active dangers, dangers that the writer warns about, possible rebellion against God and His Son. The writer warns against having a sinful, unbelieving heart, being disobedient, falling away, warns against re-crucifying the Son of God, about neglecting to meet together, about willful persistence in sin, and about rejecting God. Much more active dangers that people face. But it seems to me that these active dangers don't just happen one day. We don't just wake up one Sunday morning and all of a sudden decide we're not going to church anymore. Or we don't wake up one morning and decide I'm not believing anymore. But rather, this is a process, and the process starts with those passive dangers. That temptation to drift and to slide away and to neglect things that we should care about. And so I hope you're feeling the reality of these serious dangers the Hebrews were facing, because they're dangers for us. And amidst really these passive and active dangers were dangers towards the Christians from the outside. There was indications that these Christians were going through assaults and through tests, through suffering and persecution, torture and imprisonment, and even abuse. And though those things may seem farther from us than some of those others, all you need to do is open a newspaper these days and to see that this is the regular experience of many of our brothers and sisters all over the world. And in fact, there are some things to suggest that maybe these things aren't so far away from us in North America. And so the Hebrews, the people who received this letter to the Hebrews, faced real dangers. Real dangers, maybe the most serious of which were those passive ones that we face on a daily basis, because they lead to some of those other things. And we face those dangers too. And so as they were called to endurance over the course of the next 30 minutes and over the course of the next few months where we talk about endurance, I want you to hear a plea for endurance. A plea from the letter to the Hebrews to you, to endure and to have our mind wrapped around it. That was their context, the need for endurance, and that's our context as well. And so this book of Hebrews has throughout it this theme of endurance. A commentator that I have come to really appreciate, who's written a lot of commentaries, is a theologian named Peter O'Brien. And in his commentary to Hebrews, talking about this theme of endurance, he writes this: "By encouraging words and stern warnings, as well as positive and negative examples, the author hammers home repeatedly the importance of faithful endurance in order to reach the eternal rest in the heavenly city." And so over the next several weeks, bear with us as we hammer home repeatedly this idea of endurance and the many different ways that Hebrews calls us to it. But understand that this is what we need to hear. This is what we need for the lives that we live. This is what you need for the life you're living, a call to endurance. And so with that first verse that I saw with Hebrews 10, 36 through 39, we see those words: you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. And then to 39, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. And then in Hebrews 12, verse 1, since we are surrounded, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, those witnesses who are in chapter 11, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance. This is what the writer of this letter was concerned about, a call to endurance. It's not the only thing we'll see in a moment he was concerned about, and it's not the central theme, but it is very, very close to the central theme. And so we want to talk about this morning an approach to endurance. This first verse in Hebrews 12 offers us an approach to endurance, a way in which we can endure. Really, this comes up quite a bit earlier in a verse that we read in one of the sermons from the past couple weeks. This is Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. The writer writes this: "And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end." That's another way of saying, we want you to endure, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And so we get a precursor there in chapter 6 about these people in chapter 11, this cloud of witnesses. And the writer says, we don't want you to be sluggish. We want you to be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And a few chapters later, he tells them who those people are. And so what we get in here is an idea of imitation. An idea of imitation. Now, many of you know, most of you know, that I spent a few years playing football. For those of you who are new, I played football, quite a few years actually. Now, football is not really considered an endurance sport. Here's an interesting little tidbit of information. The average football play lasts about 3 seconds. And if you take all of the football plays that a player plays in a game and add them up together, it results in about 7 or 8 minutes of activity. So if you combine both offense and defense, the actual physical activity is about 15, 16 minutes long. Yeah, you spend 4 hours watching TV to see a bunch of guys work for about 15 minutes. And so in that sense, it's not an endurance sport. And I don't want you to take that too lightly either, because 6 or 7 minutes of getting hit by a 2x4 feels like a long time. But in terms of my career, when I think about endurance, I don't think about individual games. I think about the length that I played. And I remember when I first went into the league, I knew some things about professional football. Another interesting fact is the average career in professional football, whether it's the NFL or the CFL, is around 3 years. It's not a very long time. It's a short career. But I wanted to last a long time in the game. From the very start, I thought, I want to do this for a long time. And I was fortunate when I was drafted by Hamilton, I went to a team that had a whole bunch of offensive linemen who I hung around with every day and practiced with every day who had been doing it a long time. Every starter on that offensive line was in their double-digit years of playing football, 10 years or more, in a sport that averaged 3 years a career. And immediately when I got there, I would look at what these guys did because I knew they had endured. And so I looked at what they did and I emulated them or I imitated the things they did. And there were lots of things they did that I'm not going to get into. But immediately I saw, if I want to last a long time, I'm going to look at people who have lasted a long time and I'm going to do what they did. And so Hebrews really, one of the things, and there's many things it calls us to, one of the things it calls us to endure is to imitate, be imitators of those who have endured, to look to them. And so we want to imitate, but we need to understand something. Before we can imitate someone, we have to investigate. We have to look and see what they're doing. To imitate someone else, you have to pay attention to what they're doing. You can't imitate something you have no or little knowledge of. It requires that you look and you see and you understand what they do so that you can imitate it. And so before we can imitate, we have to investigate. But then once we've investigated, we can imitate. And one of the ways the Bible indicates that we can endure is through imitation. By imitating those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's what it tells us. Imitate those people who have endured. And so this morning, as we start this sermon series, let me ask you, do you want to endure? I hope you do. I hope as you think about those passive dangers and those active dangers and the things you face in your life, you say to yourself, I'm not one of those who shrink back and are destroyed. I don't want to be that. I want to be one of the person who inherits the promises. Are you prepared to do the work that is required in order to endure? And we'll see that part of this picture is definitely us making an effort to endure. And you're willing to let the Bible instruct you how to do that. I hope the answer to all of those questions are yes. And so if we're talking about imitation, if we're talking about looking and investigating those who have endured and then imitating them, let's look at some examples of endurance. Let's look at some examples of endurance. And I want to make an argument this morning that first and foremost, what the book of Hebrews tells us is that we ought to investigate and imitate Christ. Now, I know it's talking in 12:1 about a cloud of witnesses. But if you look a little further in verse 2, which we'll go into more detail later on in this sermon series, verse 2, just after it says, run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, it says. We look to Jesus. And so we need to investigate and imitate Christ. Think about the book of Hebrews. Think about the messages you heard in the last sermon series, Help in High Places. In chapter 10, the writer has just spent 10 chapters telling you about how supremely awesome Jesus Christ is. He has showed you how Jesus Christ offers us help, offers us faithful help, offers us merciful help and perfect help. A help, in fact, that we learned in the last sermon that Pastor Mike preached, that is superior than everything. That's what the writer of this letter talked about for 10 chapters. So as he gets to chapter 11, this isn't his first instance of parading someone who endured before us. He spent 10 chapters parading Jesus Christ in front of us. And so we need to investigate and imitate Christ. We need to look at who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. That's part of how we endure. That's a big part of how we endure. I understand this morning there may be some people here who really, in terms of this idea of enduring in the Christian faith, would say, you know what? I'm not even in the race. That's something I haven't thought of. I haven't thought about enduring because I haven't even got into the race yet. That's not something that's on my mind. And so I want to speak to you this morning and say to you, if that's you this morning, if you don't consider yourself a Christian, you don't consider yourself a believer, you've never put your faith and entrusted your life to Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you this morning, start at this same place that those who want to endure are starting at. Investigate Christ. Look at Christ. Look at what he's done. If you're willing to investigate, you will see that this Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he's the Son of God who is very God himself, who before creation lived in perfect unity, the Father and the Holy Spirit. But then, after creation, when man was created, Jesus, God's Son, became a man. He took on flesh. And he took on flesh because he needed to do something. Or he wanted to do something. Because he loved humanity, he needed to save them. He wanted to save them. Humanity, through our evil deeds, through the sins we commit, through the things that we do, separate ourselves from God. And when we investigate Jesus, we see that he took on flesh and became a man so that he could come and save us. And he saves us by dealing with our sins. He lived a perfect life, a life in perfect obedience to God. The final obedience on earth to God was him dying on a cross to pay the price for our sins. And in paying the price for our sins, if you investigate Jesus, you will come to see that if you put your faith in him, if you believe he's the Son of God and trust him for the forgiveness of your sins, that he will reconcile you to God. And so if you're here this morning and you're not even running the race and endurance isn't something you're thinking about, I still want to ask you, investigate Christ. Look to him for your salvation. And when you do that, you'll then see the need for endurance. But for all of us here this morning, we need to investigate Christ and then imitate Christ. We see Apostle John in 1 John 2:6 writes, "Whoever says he abides in him," meaning Christ, "ought to walk in the same way in which he," Christ, "walked." John says, you ought to walk the way Jesus walked. You should imitate Christ. Or Paul, the apostle, in 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Now, we'll talk about that phrase, "be imitators of me," in a moment. But how does Paul want to be imitated? He wants to be imitated in the way that he himself imitates Christ. That's his way of saying, imitate Christ. When you look at me and see the way in which I imitate Christ, in which I am Christ-like, you need to do that. And so our first way to endure that Hebrews presents to us is to investigate and to imitate Christ. That's our primary example. That's our foundational example. And you'll see in a moment, really, it all gets tied together in Christ and who he is and what he's done. And so our second example that we can investigate and imitate are those who followed Christ. So the Bible teaches us to imitate those who followed Christ. Right? This is a way to look at who Jesus is and what Jesus has done in real people. And so we can take them as examples. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, "Be imitators of me." This is Paul writing. This is a man, a human, a sinner, telling other Christians, "Be imitators of me." He says it similarly in Philippians 3:17. "Brothers, join in imitating me. And so Paul is saying, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And so we can and we are called to imitate those who followed Christ. And the reason we can do that is because in them we see the person and work of Christ displayed in a human being. To the degree in which we see Christ-likeness in other human beings, we can imitate that. And in particular, those who followed Christ. And not only those who followed Christ after him, but as Hebrews 11 tells us, those who preceded Christ. This is that great cloud of witnesses. Now, that great cloud of witnesses are saved by faith in God and his Messiah. Not exactly, but essentially the same way we are, by faith in Christ. And so we can look to them as well to see that example. And as we look at them, even in the Old Testament, we see the person and the work of Christ in their lives as well, and we can emulate that. And then finally, we get a third example. There's a third example of investigating and imitating. And this one, you got to stick with me with this one. We are called, the Bible calls us to imitate those who followed those who followed Christ. All right, let me say that again. We are to imitate those who followed those who followed Christ. Again, to see what this means, let's look at Philippians 3:17. Paul writes, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." So Paul says, imitate me and keep your eyes on those who are imitating me. And so that's an interesting thing. It's not just reserved to those apostles, to those people who were very close to Christ. But Paul says, as you see people imitating me, as I imitate Christ, look to them as well. And so the Bible gives us this way of enduring, this strength for enduring. And then one of the ways we can endure, and one of the ways that the Bible teaches us to endure is by looking into people, seeing how they are Christ-like, seeing the person and the work of Jesus Christ in their lives and imitating that. And so we investigate and imitate Christ. We look to him as our primary example. And then we look to those who followed him directly, who knew him personally. And we look to their lives and we see the person and work of Christ in their lives. And we can imitate them so far as they are Christ-like. And Paul even suggests those who follow those who follow Christ can be looked to. And as we look to them, we can see the work of Christ in their life and imitate them. And so whether it's those first apostles or people who followed after, we need to understand that as we do this, we are always looking to Christ. If we start looking at the man and focus on the man, we are going to be disappointed. And there's nothing in there that can teach us to endure in the faith. But if we look at someone and imitate them as they are Christ-like and look to the work of Christ in their life and the person of Christ in their life, that will help us endure. And so I want to take that third example of investigation and imitation and leave you with something very practical this morning, a very practical thing you can do that will help your endurance. And that thing is reading Christian biographies. Reading Christian biographies. And you know, this came to me as a result of reading Hebrews 11 and hearing these stories of the Old Testament saints and thinking about that and then thinking about how this could apply, this imitation, by looking to saints from the past who have followed Christ and have endured and how that could play out in our lives. And I think this is a very powerful thing that you can, if you haven't already, add to your walk that will help you endure. There's a lot of reasons for reading Christian biography, but let me give you three. First of all, illumination. Christian biographies shed light on the saving work of God. We can look over the centuries and centuries of the Christian church and look to people who Christ has saved. For 2,000 years, Jesus Christ has been reconciling sinners to God. And we can look back and read stories about how he's done that, how he has reached down into people's dark, destitute lives and saved them and reconciled them to God. And that can bring light as we hope to endure, to read of people who have been there before. Not just illumination, but reading Christian biographies will also bring motivation. Christian biographies encourage us with real life examples. You know, I remember I was reading the biography of St. Ambrose of Milan. It was a long time ago, thousands of years ago, before the Middle Ages. St. Ambrose of Milan, and I read about how he excommunicated the emperor. Imagine that. Here, he takes the most powerful man in the world and excommunicates him. Will not let him take communion. This is the most powerful man in the world. And here this bishop is saying, you're not taking communion and you're not coming into the church. And I thought, that is incredible. Theodosius, the emperor, had slaughtered, really, a bunch of innocent people. And Ambrose rose up and said, no, you're not taking communion. He refused to allow him to participate in the body of Christ. And I read that, and I was so encouraged by that. I remember thinking, if he could stand up to the most powerful man in the world, surely I can endure. Surely I need not fear man. That he looked to Christ and saw in Christ that strength which would allow him to do that. It was encouraging to me. And so we can look to these Christian lives from the past for motivation. And finally, emulation. Right? That's imitating with even the desire to go beyond. We can take Christian biographies. They give us a concrete goal to aim for. And Pastor Mike, as we talked about this week, said something that's very true. You know his fondness for dead guys. He's talked about his dead guys before, and he brought up the fact that one of the things you know about dead guys, you can know for sure that they endured because they're already dead. They're not going to fall away. They're not going to fall off track. They're dead, and they endured, and so they're a great example to emulate. And so I really want to encourage you as a very practical way in which you can help in yourself endure and how you can walk in endurance is to read Christian biographies. Read of those people who have been there and done that. So in closing this morning, over the next couple weeks, several weeks, we're going to talk about endurance. And my hope is that you will, first of all, sense the call on your life to endure. That you realize there are dangers that surround you on a daily basis that would take you away from enduring. That provide a real threat in your life, in your Christian faith. And so understand there's a call to endure. And understand that the Bible teaches us how to endure. And one of the things it teaches us, too, is to imitate. To imitate people who have followed Christ. But in imitating those people, let's never lose sight of the fact that we are looking in them for Christ. We're looking in them for the person and the work of Christ. We're looking essentially for the gospel, his saving grace, and how it played out in their lives. So even in looking to them, we're doing ultimately what we're all called to do to keep endurance, and that's to consider Jesus, to keep our eyes on him, to understand who he is and what he's done. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the call to endurance it gives us. And I thank you that even this morning and this week as I prepared, that there was a sense of the real danger that we all face, the real challenges that we face in our lives to endure, and that there's things that would take us away from our faith so that we don't inherit those promises which you have given us. Lord God, I pray that you would instill in us and help us to understand that we are not of those who shrink back and fall away. But because of your Son, we are those who have faith and preserve our souls. I pray that you would help us to understand one of the important ways in which your word teaches us to endure, and that's through imitation. Imitation, first of all, of Christ, to be like Christ. And to be like him, we have to understand who he is and what he did. And let that be the foundation for us as we endure. And as we look to other Christians who have followed Christ, that we would look to them specifically to see how you have worked in their life, how the glory of the gospel has penetrated into a real human being's life and changed them and helped them to endure. Help us to incorporate this in our walk. Because, Father, I speak for all of us. We want to endure. We want to endure. In Jesus' name, amen.